Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallan. Maps are an essential part of society's mobility. Maps tell people where is the nearest fast food joint, movie theater, or train station. And maps tell people how to get to where they need to go. But there's a new kind of map. It's called the audio-tactile map, and it's being developed for the blind. Here to talk about these maps is Greg Corrett. He is the Information Services Director at the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco, California. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Brian.
Let's talk more about audio-tactile maps. What are audio-tactile maps, and how do they direct the blind to where they need to go?
Well, let's start with maps generally. Maps are an integral part of daily life. The use of Google Maps, Yahoo Maps, MapQuest, this has become ubiquitous with modern life. And maps convey essential information about the world we live in. And having access to that information is necessary to fully participate in society. Now, blind people face a number of obstacles to getting around. And access to quality information is not least among them. Blind people can't just go to Google Maps, right?
Right.
So obtaining tactile maps is often difficult and expensive. For that reason, blind people haven't had a lot of exposure to or experience with maps. But, you know, think, if newly blind or learning a neighborhood or travel route from scratch, having access to tactile representation is a real asset. So, I mean, think about what's entailed showing up for a job interview in an unfamiliar part of town, or understanding the layout of a subway station. If you're learning a place or route by wandering around in it, searching for landmarks and the like, there's a lot of redundancy and repetition that's necessary before you develop a strong representation in your mind of that space. By familiarizing yourself with a map, by feeling the spatial relationships between different landmarks on that map, you create a spatial cognitive image of it. So you'll now have this strong representation of the lay of the land. So geography, distances, where streets intersect, landmarks, you know, potentially saving yourself hours of time you would have otherwise spent wandering around. So in this way, maps give people the ability to do what they couldn't do before. Tactile maps remove barriers to getting around. I'll add, tactile maps are different than from visual maps. You can't just take a visual map and turn it into a tactile map by converting the images into something you can feel. The sense of touch is, for lack of a better term, lower res than vision. So you need to be very sparse with the information you provide. You need to provide only critical information. On a tactile map, clutter is the enemy. Unfortunately, Braille takes up a lot of space, so labeling features on a map with Braille increases the clutter. You can't have lots of rich textures or shaping nuance in tactile maps. You can have a few different shapes and textures and some minimal labeling, but very often that doesn't provide enough information. By adding an audio component, we can now provide more detailed information than could be conveyed through tactile and Braille alone. One of the many things that Dr. Joshua Mealy of the Smith-Kettlewell Eye Research Institute has been researching over recent years is audio tactile graphics. And basically this means by touching different parts of the tactile graphic, a computer provides audio information about the thing being touched.
Cool. Tell me a little bit about the Lighthouse's own audio tactile maps. How are those created? And just what are some of their unique features in Braille and print?
Okay, so a little background for your listeners. Bay Area Rapid Transit, also known as BART, is the subway system that is the backbone of public transit in the Bay Area. The San Francisco Lighthouse is creating audio tactile maps of the BART system. The information necessary to plan a trip extends well beyond the need for schedules and transfer stops. Knowledge of station layouts, landmarks, important features within stations, greatly enhances the efficiency and confidence with which blind people navigate. The accessible BART station map project is based on the idea that navigation into and out of the BART system, transfers within the system, and successful connections to and from buses, taxis, and other transit are greatly facilitated by better wayfinding information. So for the audio component, we are using portable smart pen technology. Touch an object on the map with the smart pen and it will say aloud, agent booth, or escalator up to Drum Street, or Richmond platform. As I mentioned, the type of information we're including is not just the standard route map that shows what line goes to what station. What's needed is to know how to get into stations, how the stations relate to the street level landscape. And once you are in the station, how to find the ticket machines and fare gates. And once you are in the paid part of the system, how do you get to the platform? Which side is your train going to be on? And if you get on at a particular place on the platform, where's that going to put you when you get off at the next station? There are 43, maybe 44 BART stations in the system. We are creating three views for each station. Street level, concourse level, and platform level. By identifying landmarks on our maps, so where our bus stops, taxi stands, stairs, escalators, fare gates, etc., people can navigate in, around, and out of stations that they haven't even visited before.
Now, just to clarify, now some of the unique features would include elevators, escalators, the benches, those places, right?
Yeah. We had to create a unique symbol set. There are no universal symbols in use for these sorts of things. We think we did a pretty good job. To reduce clutter also, we can't include possibly every single feature that people might encounter while traveling. Even though some of them may be useful landmarks, we had to limit ourselves to some very key items. So the key map symbols for all levels are going to be stairs, escalators, elevators, entrances and exits. We have some obstacle shading on the street level views. We have a compass rose that points north. Street level, we also have taxi stands, bus stops, crosswalks, loading zones, streets, walkways, sunken plaza. That's actually a common feature at BART stations, that you descend from the street level to a plaza before entering the station. On the concourse level, purchase fare machines, fare gates, restrooms, station agents, fence, you know, that delineates the paid area from the non-paid area. And on the platform level, obviously the tracks, benches, which also serve as useful landmarks. Even though you may bark your shin against them, they let you know where you are. train doors. And a unique feature of BART is that the platforms are all very uniform throughout the system. And trains line up, they align the center of the train with the center of the platform. So a short three-car train, car number two is in the center of the platform. And it's going to maintain that when it goes to the next station. So if you board that center car there, when you disembark, you are still in the center of the platform at the new station. And so we mark where those train doors line up with the platform.
I understand that you were talking about the pen to hear the audible directions for these BART stations on the audio tactile maps. How does that pen work?
Okay, so a smart pen is a device the size of a pen that contains a small computer, a digital camera in the tip, a speaker and headphone jack. It runs on batteries. It is not tethered to a workstation. It's a standalone device. You can slip it into your pocket, carry it around with you. The underlying technology was developed in Sweden by a company called Anoto, A-N-O-T-O. LiveScribe, a company headquartered in Oakland, California, has licensed this technology. LiveScribe produces the pulse and Echo Smart Pens. They also provide a software developer kit so that people can write applications for the Smart Pen, much as people have been doing for the iPhone. These LiveScribe Smart Pens have been adapted for use as a platform for audio tactile graphics and maps through research and development by Josh Mealy at Smith Kettlewell, Steve Landau at Touch Graphics, and some folks at Vanderbilt University. Now, the way it works, the page that our map is printed on is also printed with the Anato dot pattern. So you can think of it as a barcode. The pen works by recognizing this special non-repeating dot pattern. The non-repeating nature of the pattern means that the pen is able to identify what page it is touching as well as its exact location on that page. Thus, it can announce audio labels. And that's the short version for how it works.
Wow. Amazing. So, how much of a response has the Lighthouse received on these audio tactile maps? I hear they're a big hit.
The project has generated a great deal of interest amongst other transit agencies in the Bay Area and elsewhere, and a lot of interest amongst orientation and mobility specialists who see this as a particularly effective wayfinding tool. Over the past year or so, we've demonstrated our accessible BART station maps at numerous conferences and conventions, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. Typically, when you roll out a new access technology, there are always a few naysayers in the crowd who think it's a ridiculous idea or poorly implemented or they got a better idea. But people like it. They see the potential in it, both for their personal use, and they see ways that the concept can be expanded upon and applied to other maps and types of materials.
Is the Lighthouse planning to create audio tactile maps of other transit systems, including the Wheels bus in the eastern San Francisco Bay Area city of Livermore, or other farther away places like the California State Capitol of Sacramento, or maybe even the East Coast, like the MTA system in New York?
Well, this is a demonstration project in a way. It has not been done before. The Americans with Disability Act requires certain sorts of information to be conveyed. You'll sometimes get station announcements, tactile or braille signage and the like. Sometimes transit schedule information will be accessible. But nowhere in the ADA does it specify maps or tactile maps. So in that aspect, it is a demonstration project, a proof of concept, if you will. Our hope is that once we prove it works with BART, we've created a model for other systems in the U.S. Our Accessible BART Station Map project is funded in part by a new Freedom Grant from the Federal Transit Administration. Last fall, the Lighthouse submitted a proposal to create accessible SF Muni Metro station maps, and we recently got word that we will receive funding for that project. So on the near horizon, once we're done with BART, we'll be doing SF Muni Metro.
And the Muni Metro, that's the underground subway, correct?
In San Francisco, yes. So we will do the corridor, the underground corridor from Embarcadero to West Portal.
That's good. I was wondering if any other blind or visually impaired agencies are constructing similar audio tactile maps, or if there are any other sources inside or outside the U.S.
Well, other than Touch Graphics, who is a partner on this project, there's no one doing pen-based maps. ViewPlus makes a product called Iveo, I-V-E-O, which could be used to make talking tactile maps, but I don't know that anyone is using it that way. There may be various projects at universities, but none that are focused on making commercial maps. Now, there are people doing tactile maps. There's a company called InTouch Graphics, not to be confused with Touch Graphics, and not tactile per se, but accessible. I heard that at CSUN, an outfit called SAS Institute. They demonstrated maps that can be accessed by blind people on the iPad.
Ooh. So, and these iPad maps would also talk too, correct?
That, I believe, that's how they'd have to provide feedback, because the iPad, as you know, is not tactile.
Yes.
It's interesting, when we demonstrate these maps publicly, a lot of people instantly fast forward to, oh, wouldn't it be great if you had this app for a phone or for an iPad? But an iPad or an iPhone isn't the right metaphor for what we are doing. What we are doing is tactile. Granted, it has an audio component. So if you, let's say you touch a place on your screen, you can hear more about that. But if you're really trying to establish spatial relationships between landmarks and build that image in your mind, the presence of tactile is a key element to formulating that kind of understanding of a space. You really need to be able to feel point A and point B and everything in between there to understand that space. So I don't know that it would really translate to an iPad environment. There could be other cool wayfinding things and map ideas that could work there, but it's not what this project is about.
And the blind, a lot of the blind use Braille. So they have to feel around words. They have to feel around the places where they're going to go. So they do rely on it a lot. And that's what makes these maps work for them.
I might mention at this point that for those who haven't had their hands on them or seen them, that these maps, they are large print, they are high contrast color, they are tactile, they have Braille, and they have this audio layer. So they have a lot of redundant layers of information in them. So they can be useful for blind folks, for low vision folks, potentially for deafblind folks, at least as far as the tactile and the Braille goes. So, it's a well-designed tool.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys plan to speak at any other special engagements or arrive at any other special events or presentations?
We don't have anything scheduled. Coming up sometime this year, late this year, I think in November, NFB is hosting a tactile graphics conference out in Baltimore. It may be cool to go to that. It may be, but really our focus is on how is this product going to help folks in the Bay Area, which is what the federal money was intended to do. You know, help overcome barriers to accessing transportation for people with disabilities. And so we really have to focus on that, and we're really still just in the tail end of the R&D phase of this. There have been a number of things that have come up, overcoming challenges to fabricating these maps on a mass scale so that they are affordable and we can distribute them. We've already collected all the data. We've finished almost all the designs, but we're really working with exploring different fabrication methods. And once we've settled on that, we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to be cranking these maps out lickety-split.
Wow. How many of the maps do you guys crank out per week, per month?
Well, we're not, like I said, we're not on a production schedule. We're kind of in a research and development phase.
Our listeners want to know how they can order the maps. I hear it's simple and easy.
Well, maps and smart pens will be distributed through the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco. Maps will be available for reference at BART station agent booths. Smart pens are available from Best Buy, the Apple Store, Staples, Brookstone. I mean, just Google smart pen and you'll find places to buy it. It's a commercially available product. It was not designed as an adaptive technology product. It's just been adapted to that use. The real question for your listeners and for me is, when will these maps be available? Beta versions of the three station booklets that contains MacArthur, Coliseum, and Powell are available now for demonstration purposes. There are still considerations related to production to sort out, but we expect all maps for all 43 BART stations will be available later this summer. They had better be.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as cost, we're still considering, you know, these different fabrication methods and materials related to production costs. So the price is to be determined. But obviously the objective here is to make them very affordable for individuals.
How much do the smart pens cost?
You know, I'd have to look it up. The last time I looked, the Echo smart pen, which has 2 gigs of memory, and they go up to like 8 gigs, was retailing for $99.95, I believe it was.
That's an extremely good price.
That may have been a blowout. I'd have to look. Echo smart pen. Let me just see. LiveScribe. That's 8 gig. I see LiveScribe. Now it's 2 gig. And now that's $129 on eBay. So it may have gone up. Let's see. But, you know, you look around on Amazon and the like, you'll find deals. But for an access technology, you know, $129 isn't bad.
Wow. Yeah, it is. That's a pretty low price that anybody could afford. So anything else you'd like to add before we're out of time?
I would add that, well, the Lighthouse and Smith Kettlewell are leading the way in a new type of accessible transit information. And this project is only a beginning. More information can be gleaned by visiting the Lighthouse website, lighthouse-sf.org. And that SF stands for San Francisco. Probably the easiest way to find map information is to simply search the keyword Braille and tactile maps. We do have a search field on our homepage. And I invite people to contact me directly. So I welcome their comments. You can reach me, Greg Corrett, by sending an email to info@lighthouse-sf.org.
That is fantastic, Greg. Well, we're running out of time, but thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian.
That's all for today's Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.